The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, my next guest, Karina Melvin, is a psychologist and psychoanalyst who's written a new book called Artful Eating, which she claims can change your life forever. She joins me now in studio to talk about the book. Karina, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, it's a beautiful book. I love it. I'm a sucker for a book that looks beautiful, and it is. Lovely photography in it. What's the best way to describe it? Is it a self-help book? There's recipes in it too. How would you describe it?
It's kind of difficult to pin it down. I know that there's talk about where it should be in the bookshop indeed, but I think what it is it's communicating a philosophy around how to live, how to eat well, and most importantly how to feel good in yourself. So I think that's probably how I'd describe it.
So the diet is dead, which I'm sure lots of people will be delighted to hear. Explain that a little bit to me.
It is. So basically what we now know, and there's no way of ignoring this fact, because I'm sure so many of your listeners have been on diets many times, lost a bit of weight and then put it all back on.
Yep.
And often more, because statistically what we find is that the majority of people who go on diets end up putting on more weight than when they actually started, which is pretty shocking if you think about it. So if you decide to go on a diet this January, the most likely outcome is that you'll put on weight.
And why is that? Is it just because we deprive ourselves of something?
It's because our body resists weight loss. If you think about it from an evolutionary perspective, this makes perfect sense. When there's a scarcity of food, it makes sense that our body holds on to whatever food we have, whatever bit of fat we have. And so when we go on a diet, our body starts to think that we're in a famine, and so it holds on to everything. So the only way to successfully lose weight and keep it off is, unfortunately, slowly, gradually, and the way to maintain that is to change your lifestyle, change your approach to food, change what you eat a little bit. I mean, you don't have to drastically change what you eat. What I advocate is to eat natural food rather than eating highly processed food. So that doesn't mean you can't have chocolate or cake. You can, just not stuff that's with lots of preservatives and lots of ingredients that we can't pronounce, because our body doesn't really like that stuff. It likes stuff that it can recognize.
So I suppose the mind hasn't played a big role in weight loss, and that's what this book mostly talks about, is how we need to put the mind and how we think about food into this whole process, and we'll get better results from it.
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest missing ingredient in the weight loss battle. It's the mind, because the big message out there is eat less and move more. Right? And that's been out there for a long time. Then why isn't that working? Why are there so many people frustrated with their body? Why is obesity on the rise? By 2030, Ireland is going to be the most obese country in Europe, which is a really saddening statistic. And that's not because we're overeating. Well, I mean, in a way we are, but it's because the message has gotten really confused. How we feel determines the decisions that we make. And if we're not feeling good in our bodies, we're going to eat foods that aren't going to serve us.
So does it tie in with that whole idea of being emotional eaters? So if you don't, I suppose, address some of the issues that are in your head about a variety of things, or some things that make you unhappy or make you sad, that, you know, you may eat as a result to sort of comfort yourself.
Absolutely. The biggest problem with people who struggle with their weight is that they eat when they're not actually hungry. Right?
Yes.
Because if we
Hands
go back,
up.
Yeah, exactly. So if we go back to eat less and move more, that's great. But the problem is eating when we're not actually hungry. And so in the book, I talk about firstly recognizing when we're hungry, because we've overridden it so much by focusing on what we think we should be eating, or when we should be eating, or how much we should be eating. So if we kind of get back to a base level of recognizing when we're hungry, that's one piece. And then another, and eating then. And eating what we want then, as opposed to what we think we should eat. And then secondly, to be able to address emotional eating. Because yeah, there's emotional eating. We're eating because we're sad, we're bored, we're frustrated, we're unhappy. But there's a deeper piece to it as well, which is that we have a story that we tell ourselves, and it shapes absolutely everything we do. And it shapes what we put in our mouths. So if we identify as being overweight, if we identify as struggling with binging, if we identify as being the fat one, or that it's really difficult to lose weight, we'll just perpetuate that cycle by living that story. And so in the book, I talk about us starting to be really honest with ourselves, recognizing what our story is, and learning how to work around changing that story and identifying yourself in a different way around food and your body.
You've quite an interesting story behind writing the book and interesting, I suppose, experiences with food when you were younger. Tell me a little bit about that, being in boarding school and when you became aware of the fact that people were so body obsessed.
Yeah, I think that that's a great question because it's so timely for me now because I've just had a daughter. And so I'm thinking about her and I'm thinking about children growing up now in a much more self-aware time where we've got Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, things I probably don't even know the name of. But in my time, being in boarding school and being surrounded by lovely girls who were all dissatisfied, not all, that's not fair, but an awful lot of them were dissatisfied with their body. And it was a time where it was almost an uncomfortable thing to say that there was something you liked about your body, that the narrative was always a complaint, I don't like my legs, or I don't like my belly, or I'm not happy with this or that. And so there's always been, for a lot of women and young girls, a very negative or body-shaming kind of attitude, and that's the narrative, rather than having a narrative where, wow, I like this about myself, I love my hair.
And people feed off that.
And they feed off that, yes. You feel very self-conscious then if you're saying, well, I'm really happy with who I am and what I have. So is that, and that was there as I was growing up, and I didn't fall too much into that trap personally until I went and did a master's in London and fell in with a lovely housemate who was a serial dieter and had huge issues with her weight. She was American and came from a very different narrative to my Irish upbringing, where it was like, eat your mommy's food and, you know, you're fine. And so I fell into dieting with her because she did the cooking and I didn't know how to cook. And the most astonishing thing happened in that time was that instead of losing weight, I put on weight over the course of that time because I stopped listening to my body. I started eating diet food, which we think is good for us, but actually our body doesn't quite know what to do with it. And then to compensate, and I know so many people do this, they're good for a while, then they compensate by binging or overeating or indulging and like throwing out all their good work, I suppose is how they put it. And so we really lose balance. I talk a lot about balance in the book.
So this isn't a quick fix. This is more of a change of everything, really. So does it appeal to somebody maybe who's tried the Slimming Worlds, has tried the Weight Watchers, you know, has had a special event coming up and they say, right, I'm losing a half stone to get into that dress. And then, like you say, they go back to all the bad habits afterwards. So this is about changing the way you think about all of that.
It really is. It's not a quick fix. But I wrote it because I'm hoping to help change the story around weight loss and around food. Food is not the enemy. Fat, sugar, these are not the enemy. The enemy is the narrative that we tell ourselves about food and weight loss. Weight loss isn't difficult, and food is a wonderful, pleasurable resource that we can enjoy and that we should enjoy. And food for so many people has become this great problem, and it's such an intimate thing because we all eat. And I would like to see a time where eating is this lovely time of the day. You sit down at breakfast or lunch or dinner or whenever you're hungry, take a pause and eat something and enjoy it. And that's why I wrote the book. It's a lifestyle overhaul and it takes time. You could digest it probably in an afternoon, but the lessons, the thoughts, the actions that I encourage, they'll take time. So I always say to people, take your time, be kind to yourself and enjoy the process. There's nothing I'm asking people to do that isn't really pleasant.
You just have to change the way you think about it. But I suppose changing the way we think about things can be quite difficult when you're in a certain habit, and we're all very habitual about the way we think about things. But you've got some really good tips in here, like to do with, you know, changing the way your mind works, like one of them about putting your, you know, ideal weight, changing your password. Tell us about some of those kind of practical things that people can do.
Yeah, so they're conditioning, mind conditioning things. I talk about body conditioning in the book, and I'm not talking about doing exercises, physical exercises. I'm talking about having visual cues around the home, like an image of yourself at a weight that you are happy with, so that you can start to think, yes, I was that size. I can be that size again. That's absolutely possible.
So put it on the fridge, put it on.
Yeah, put it by your bedside table, put it in the eyeline of the television or in the eyeline of your laptop. I also talk about changing your passwords. Maybe it's an ideal weight, or maybe it's I feel fantastic, or I love how I look. And every time you put that in your password in your phone or in your computer, you're sending yourself a message. So I talk about conditioning. I also talk about clearing out, decluttering your kitchen and your wardrobe. Do not be putting on clothes that make you feel rubbish. Put on clothes that make you feel good regardless of your size. The key in the book, and something that I talk about a lot and give you a lot of tools and strategies about, is how to feel good now. And so you're right, it's a challenging process if you've been one way your whole life.
Yeah.
It takes time to assimilate, digest and apply these tools to position yourself in a different way. So I've created cognitive hypnosis audios to support that people can get for free from my website, artful-eating.com. And you listen to those as you read the book, and then they help you to assimilate all the lessons that I talk about in the book.
And what I love, like I said, it's a fabulous book to look at, the photography, and it's just gorgeous. And the pictures of you are lovely. It's just really lovely.
Thank you.
It's going to be in my kitchen. But tell me about some of the recipes. I loved that there's still scones in there.
Oh, yes.
There's
with clotted cream.
Yeah. There's nice cakes. There's, you know, soups and stew and kind of that wholesome food that reminds most of us, I suppose, of our childhood.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's just real food. You're not going to find any desiccated coconut in there. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just what I'm trying to communicate with the recipes, which, to be honest, I hummed and hawed about putting in there because I'm not a chef. I'm a psychologist. I just like cooking. But the recipes, they're such simple, easy recipes. And the idea is to demonstrate that you can cook from scratch. It is not difficult. And actually, it's so much more flavoursome than buying something ready made. And I know people are talking about being time poor and between the kids and work and dogs and God knows what.
Yeah, but I like the way you have it laid out, and there's kind of some basics that you should have in your press if
yes.
you're going to, say, buy this book and decide that this is what you're going
yes.
to do. And also batch cooking, which is really
batch
helpful
cooking.
For people who are busy. And we
Absolutely.
All are busy. And there are days where you get in and you don't want to start a dinner from scratch, and you will just pull something processed. But if you can kind of maybe have a weekend and get organised, and then you can then pull stuff like that from the freezer.
Absolutely. It's about prioritising. We definitely have time to binge watch something on Netflix, or we have time to watch something on the television or read a book. It's about prioritising. So batch cooking at the weekend. On a Sunday, I batch cook with a glass of wine, a podcast or some music, and it's a pleasurable time for me cooking, and I'm making a whole bunch of things at once, so that when during the week I'm really busy, I've stuff in my freezer that I can pull out and go, cakes especially, sweet treats especially, because I think that life would be pretty miserable without sweet treats.
Absolutely. I'm in agreement. Okay, Karina Melvin and the book Artful Eating, thanks so much for coming in to speak to us on The Last Word.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.